Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 25 punting preview, the final round in the regular season for 2021. Last week we went just 2-3 on best bets. That brings us for the season to 56-37, good for 60% overall 2021 best bets. The mixed matchup fell short, snapped a 6 win streak and a 13-14 streak. We're 17-8. On mixed matchups all season long, 68% at juicy odds. Combined, if you had 100 on best bets and mixed matchups all year, you're up profit over 2,700. That has gone down from a high point. We were up above 3,500, I think, after we swept about round 21. On a positive note, that multi, the 15-1 given out pre-season, officially got paid last weekend when the Dragons' hopes got vanquished, and over 400 followers are on that, so congratulations to you guys. But on the note of, you know, making money or trying to over the course of a season, I've actually added a bonus segment to tonight's pod that I'm going to include right at the end, just a short clip from an American punting podcast I highly recommend. I'm a huge fan of those guys, and it's basically professional punters talking strategy that helps you decide how much you would bet per game and also how to handle losing runs. Really invaluable information. That's right at the end. I also actually shared a bonus multi. I felt like I had to give a multi out Sunday night once I saw a few of the bookies open markets in anticipation of team lists. And some of those legs are looking good, others not so good. But I'll put that up on the screen and I'll refer to that multi a little bit and where we stand. But certainly if you got the 40-1, you can't get better than that now. So it's still okay to be on. But not everything went the way I thought on Tuesday. Now, a huge factor I'm going to touch on all pod is the golden rule, which is in the NRL late in the season, motivation, motivation, motivation. When I'm handicapping these games, it's as much about how much a team wants it as it is about the ability of the sides themselves. And we did a bonus pod episode, which I'm going to refer to as well on Monday, where we were playing a little bit psychologist, trying to predict the motivation of these teams in order to try and predict who they were going to name. Well, now the team lists are out, so we've got more information, but we still don't know the final 1-17s. The teams have up to 4 players that they can swap in and out. But when you know the team lists, you get a signal of intent of what the teams are trying to get out of these games. So I'm going to read into that as much as I can. No hiding from obviously a rough stretch of best bets. Nonetheless, I have 3 I really like this week. I know that quite often, soon after I share them live on the pod, the markets can move. I wonder if after a dry spell, if they're going to move less. But I still think these plays are strong. And I guess I'll just point out that opportunity. You don't even have to agree with me to make money on this show. If you disagree, I'd say have a little look or have a listen to what I'm about to say. Have a look at these markets and you might find some very juicy prices or numbers that you can oppose and jump on the other side to me. I'm starting with Saturday where my best bet's going to be on the Broncos. +2.5 in the second half. And that's on Unibet at $1.86, as well as Sportsbet at $1.83. They play the Knights. I have clear motivation with Brisbane. They're at home. They've got fans. It's Captain Alex Glenn's farewell match. The last 5 matches, they've played all the way to the final whistle. So I know that there's like, the team is the fitness and falling away second half's not as big of an issue for Brisbane these days. Newcastle, on the other hand, no motivation to win. Other than, yes, they want to play well and keep building combinations. We see that because they've still named a pretty strong side. Although I'm saying that, a couple of key guys are out. I'll be honest, obviously it's a stronger side than I expected Newcastle was going to name. But another thing is if we jump on this bet tonight, we do still have a chance that someone like Ponga, Pierce or both, they could be pulled out if O'Brien sees reason. Additionally, I'm playing second half because maybe Ponga and Pierce play and they want to play really strong for 40 or 60 minutes and maybe those guys get dragged in the second half as the Knights have one eye on the finals. That's why I think the best way to get at Brisbane is a second half line. Then later on Saturday, I'm going to take the Dragons +2.5 in the first half at $1.80 on Bet365. Next best available would be to take +2 on Top Sport. That's in the first half, $1.83. They play Souths. This is a tough game to pick. If you saw my multi I put up on the screen, we got +23.5 at $1.97 on Dragons on Sunday night. Obviously, that's before the team lists were announced, and now it's official. There's mass changes for the Rabbitohs. Well, they're doing the smart thing. They've got 9 or so starters who are going to sit out And I look the teams up and down. I actually believe the Dragons are the slightly stronger side on the back of all those guys resting. I think there's enough motivation for the Dragons that they haven't given up. They haven't won a game for a lot of weeks, but they want to. They've got fresh faces in the side. So I think they're actually enjoying their footy. It might sound funny, but this Dragons team still looks like they're having a crack for me. The only reason I'm playing first half line is because on Bet365, the first half line is the same as the full game line. And obviously, every key point is worth a little bit more in half the amount of time. So you can get plus $2.95 for the full game. I would sacrifice that 15 cents and play it in the first half. And finally, to end the season, an ugly one, I'm going to take the Bulldogs plus 4.5 in the first half. Also $1.80, also on Bet365. Next best would be to take plus $4.88 on Top Sport first half line. They play the Tigers. It's a game where nothing is at stake, so there's no motivation edge. Both teams haven't won for a few weeks. They want to win for sure. And in fact, these sides met 5 weeks ago and the line was the same, -7.5. And I was on the Tigers on that day and we got the best bet win, but it wasn't convincing. And the Tigers have lost Adam Dewey since then. So I actually think, if anything, watching these sides play last week, the Dogs fought harder than the Tigers. Like, the Dogs game blew out late when Manly scored a few late tries. Whereas if anything, the Tigers backdoored the Panthers, made that game look a little bit closer than it truly was. I think this game's going to be nothing pretty and nobody's going to miss these teams once the finals start, but I'm just not convinced the Tigers are that much better than the Bulldogs, and I'm going first half line simply because it's over half of the full-time line, so I think there's even more value getting that key number of 4 that wins in the first half as well. Appreciate all the feedback from everyone who enjoyed Monday's pod, which, as I said, I just sprouted on you guys unexpected. Tristan made the time available to talk to me for nearly an hour about everything that was built into the round 25 odds before team lists, so where the markets had opened, where we predicted they were headed. We had the what was at stake for each side, the which sides may or may not rest, why they may or may not rest, and who if they were to rest. So I'll try not to repeat, you know, that pod. I definitely recommend going back and checking it out. But it's just something that you can refer back to if you didn't catch it. You know, that's a good example where I just thought it's such a unique round. There's so many like aspects that apply not just to NRL and stuff you can use in future seasons of NRL, but every major sport. You get opportunities like this that are so unique to the final round, where there's such a big disparity in some teams' motivation. Some teams need the game. It's the biggest game of the year. And for other teams, it's almost meaningless. So spur of the moment, we recorded it. It's up on all the channels, video and audio. It's just another time, I guess, I could prompt you guys to please like and subscribe to the Tripod videos and channels. And it's something where it's good for me. Like, if it can make a difference if you want to support. Little things like that, those metrics can help with procuring sponsorship and stuff like that. But also for you, if you're subscribed, then if I ever do drop a bonus piece of content or put a post up like the bonus multi, you're more likely to see that stuff if you are subscribed than if you do like the posts in general. Now, speaking of that bonus pod, you heard what Tristan had to say prior to team lists. Well, now let's get his thoughts on how it all played out, as well as where the money has come since the squads were announced.
G'day, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. It's been a nightmare of a week to try to price up. We had a really good chat. I had a really good chat with Jacob, which I know a lot of you listened to on Monday, and we went through what we thought were going to happen with the betting moves and the team lists, and a good chunk of that has actually come true. We've seen some big moves. The Panthers-Eels game's been a sizable move. It's gone from 10.5 out to 28.5. Obviously, Penrith naming a full-strength side, Parramatta resting a lot of their guns. The other one that we had a little bit of uncertainty around was the Cronulla-Storm game, and Storm has sort of named a middle of the road team, so they're 9.5 there. That one is still up in the air. Like, are all those players going to play? Who knows? The one that probably moved in the direction neither of us expected was the Broncos against the Knights, where the Broncos actually got slightly into favourites before those team lists were announced on Tuesday, and then both Ponga and Pierce were named. That's seen the line bounce back out to 3.5. Newcastle favourite. A few of the others are actually a little bit higher than that. My gut tells me that there's still a big chance, looking at the extended bench and the interchange, that one or both of those guns don't play, and then the market could shift pretty hard back the Broncos' way. I just can't see that you risk either of those players when you've rested a lot of your big guns, your big forwards, in a game that's nothing to do. It makes no sense to me. So I still think there's a little bit of, there's a big chance that can occur. We've got, obviously, there's lots of implications on the top eight, top four, minor premiership at the moment based on all these games on the weekend. The minor premiership's been an interesting betting medium all year. We've been laying both sides. Melbourne's a small loser for us, but nothing too significant. The Seagulls are our worst way by a long way in the top four. They're, they've been backed off the mat with us from as high as $5 or $6, and they're obviously virtually assured of winning. They only need to beat the Cowboys, and even losing the Cowboys, there's still some chance, but they look assured of making it. In terms of the top eight, for us, we are death riding the Sharkies a little bit. We laid them at $7 about a month ago, which in hindsight probably wasn't the smartest thing for us to do, with this always being a chance of the Storm resting players. Probably from our point of view, we're a little bit lucky in the sense that they have still put together a decent side and they're still very short price favourites, and then we just need a result from either Canberra or the Titans. So it's coming down to the wire. Out of the three teams that are in contention, we'd much prefer to see the Canberra win it from a betting point of view. From a heart point of view, being a Gold Coast boy, I'd love to see the Titans sneak into the eight. It'll make that Sunday group of games a lot more entertaining if they're still in play as well. So, all right, punters, well, good luck on the weekend. Make sure you keep an eye on those team lists, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. Let's jump into the games. Thursday night, we've got a cracker to open up the final round. The Roosters are 2.5-point favourites over the Raiders in Mackay. It's a must win for the Raiders after they kept their season alive coming back against the Warriors last week. They have to win. That will get them into the eight, and then we'll see with a couple of games to go whether they stay there. Simonson is out. Mr. Fix-It Rapana slides to fullback, and Nickel Klukstad, who's been off the bench the last two starts, will be starting fullback. We all know the Roosters lost Joey Manu, but they have strengthened their side. They add Crichton from suspension. They add Warrior Hargraves. I think he's dealt with a knee. Morris back as well. Ikavalu, Kieran all back. Why have the Roosters named the strongest side they can? I don't agree with this, but they do still have that tiny percent chance of making the four. If they win, I think they'll actually get into the four until at least the Manly game. Otherwise, there's a 99% chance the Roosters are playing elimination next week. But I think the fact maybe this is a Thursday game, they're thinking, well, we've got the time to recover, so we're not really thinking the rest advantage is going to be huge. And Tristan made the point on Monday as well, they may actually really think they've got a stronger edge beating someone like the Sharks or the Titans, because the Roosters won't be playing the Raiders if they beat them, rather than the Knights. Maybe they actually respect the Knights a bit more. Now, I don't think all those pros to playing your strongest side this week outweighs the risk that you get another key player injured or suspensioned. But look, that's the way it's fallen, and we've got to read into their mentality from the fact that the Roosters have picked a strong side. Now, you might want to back the Roosters this week, and I couldn't blame you. They are clearly the better team. But the fact that it isn't do or die, I referenced this before, there still is that chance that between now and Thursday, they could rest a key player. So you've got to keep that in mind. If you're backing the Raiders, at least you know they're giving everything and it is do or die for them. Now, while I had hoped the Roosters would rest a few guys, then I would have been on the Raiders tonight almost, laying any short line. Obviously, the Raiders would have been favourites. And that's why I took them at $2.40 of $2.45, whatever, in the multi on Sunday night. And even now we know the Roosters are going to be full strength. The odds still haven't even gone back that high. So it shows it was a great bet on Sunday. It's an okay bet now. I can't advise playing the Raiders now. Now that I know that the Roosters are going to name a strong lineup and they do have reasons why they could win, I've just got to sit back and we'll cheer for the multi for sure. If anything, I'd probably lean to the Roosters, but I don't think it makes sense to jump on the Roosters now before you know for sure who's playing. So if you like the Roosters, maybe you wait closer to kickoff, because I'm looking at a guy like Brad Abbey in their reserves, and it just wouldn't surprise me at all if he's the starting fullback and they do give Teddy a rest. Again, I think that's what would be smart. So I wouldn't be jumping on the Roosters yet, but you could bide your time. You could definitely play them on Thursday. I don't have a best bet on that game. Moving to Friday, another really fascinating one. The Storm are -9.5-point favourites over the Sharks. And I think Parramatta may have inadvertently ended the Sharks season by springing the upset of the season, because I do believe if the Storm had beaten the Eels, broken that all-time record, it would have been a 20th win. They would have locked up the minor prem. They could have just rolled out a complete backup side here. And Munster, I've referenced this already in the last couple of pods, but Munster said they were looking to rest 10-plus players. And after the Eels game, obviously the Eels game changes things, but after the Eels game, Bellamy said, we're not changing the plan. But I think the fact is that loss did clearly change their plan a bit. And maybe another factor, which I didn't mention with the Roosters, but you look at the Roosters, just lost by 40 to Souths. You look at the Storm, just lost by, they lost by 12 in the end, I think, to the Eels. Like, that leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. And I think that influences why they're playing stronger sides this round, because they actually want to get back on track and put an emphatic performance out there before the finals. In terms of who's resting and who's not for the Storm, I'd describe it as a half-strength side. So they will be without Munster, Welsh, Kalfusi, both Bromwich brothers, Remus Smith. But if you look at this Storm side, it's still got the likes of Pappenhausen, Hines, Hughes, Brandon Smith. And then you've got Nelson and Finucane are both back from injury. So obviously they would need to get a run. And Harry Grant's still in the interchange as well. That's still a side that I think beats Cronulla, even Cronulla at their most desperate. Cronulla's named the same 17 that beat the Broncos. They have swapped Moylan and Metcalf between interchange and 5/8. So I tipped the Sharks in the 40-1 multi. I did give out Sunday night because I knew, like, from their point of view, they've got to treat this as a must win. Now, there is a scenario where the Sharks could lose and still get in. That would be if the Raiders had lost the night before and then if the Titans don't make up the points difference. But the Sharks can't rely on that, so the Sharkies will treat this as a must win. However, the reason I chucked the Sharkies head-to-head in that multi was not me saying Sharks are going to beat Melbourne, and it wasn't me saying Melbourne's definitely playing nobody. It was just I felt there was a really considerable chance that the Storm could do that, similar to what they did in the final round last year, and therefore it was worth rolling the dice. I mean, now you've got Cronulla's like paying like $3.50, but we know the Storm's going to be still pretty strong. So getting them $3.20 on Sunday night, when we didn't know what Storm side was going to be named, it made sense to me, and I want to caution that. I hope people can appreciate what might have been a good bet 2 days ago when there were some unknown factors that could have gone our way. Well, now those factors haven't necessarily gone our way. I'm not endorsing that play anymore. We've got to ride it, and we've still got a chance, and we've still got Cronulla playing for their season, but it's not as good a bet right now. It's probably a slightly weak bet now, where it could have been a great one. It didn't work out that way. So I look at these sides. I think now we know Melbourne wants to win. They want that minor premiership, and they're going to be pissed off after that loss, to be quite frank. And I think they will take care of Cronulla here. So if I was betting the game now, in a vacuum, I'm on the Storm. And I would lay the points, but it's similar to what I said about the Roosters. I wouldn't be in a rush. I would wait and see and be sure that everyone who's named does still play, because I'm still looking at a few players in their reserves that they could still choose to slot into the lineup and rest one or two more guns. And that, of course, would result in the line dropping. So keep following. Stay tuned on social media. That's where I release any additional plays, of course. Eels play the Panthers later Friday night. Another game massively affected by rested first graders. So the line now is Panthers minus 28.5. So the Eels have just gone all out, and I did predict this as well. And they're resting 8 key men. That's nearly 1,000 games of NRL experience between them. That's basically as many players as Parramatta could possibly rest. They've got some of their regular guys who usually play in the interchange or in the starting lineup, and some guys that are just from the reserves in the starting lineup. And they got, like, on their interchange bench is unrecognizable. I mean, three players on the Parra interchange bench with one start between them. So this is one where my inclinations did kind of pan out. And I know some people questioned that and said, no, the Eels will surely want to carry on the momentum of the Storm upset. But I said, I think the fact they performed so well, they'll just want to bottle that up and save it for the finals and now put everybody on ice, because while Parramatta technically could make the four, it's so unlikely as we get to the Manly game that I think you just give your team the bye this week. Then you're at least that little bit more fresh, and nothing bad can happen to any of your key players, and you're going to give the finals a shake. And Parramatta won't be easy beats if they play as well as they did last week against the Storm. Penrith will put in an interesting position, of course, with the Storm losing, opening up that probability of stealing the minor premiership. And maybe that factored into the Panthers naming a pretty strong side. Well, it's beyond strong, actually. They've kept the same 1-17 that won last week. And I think it's the strongest side Penrith could name. Now, if I was them, looking at this, most likely the Storm will still beat the Sharks. And if the Storm beats the Sharks, Penrith are stuck in second position. No, can't go up or down. So I would be pulling Nathan Cleary. I'd be maybe even resting the likes of a Luai, Burton, Yo, kick out, depending on who's got niggles or who might need the rest. So regardless of if any of those guys do get dragged, I think the Penrith side's going to clearly handle Parramatta. So they've kind of got that luxury where now they are going to win. I'm not going out on a limb by much saying Penrith's going to beat Parramatta this weekend. Do you need to risk, especially when we know Cleary's got that, you know, shoulder complaint. The thing is, this line was 10.5 on Sunday night, and at that point in time, it was a bit unclear like how motivated either side was. But we've got an 18-point line adjustment on the back of the Parramatta restings. Now the line's 28.5. I actually would be on Penrith, I tell you that. And that's despite the fact Penrith has burned us 3 times in the last 6 weeks, getting up big and then getting backdoored. The Brisbane game, the Dragons game, the Tigers game. So, and we were laying big numbers in those. So don't know if I want to lay another big number with Penrith. You could say that they've got that tendency to kind of play with their food. Whereas when did they finish really strongly? When I didn't want them to, and we were on Bunnies, they finished incredibly strong. So they've kind of burned us with quite a few plays in the last 6 weeks. But I do think if you look at how Penrith played last weekend and not finishing strong, they might be looking for improvement. So I wouldn't be touching Parramatta myself. Although if you like Parramatta, probably get on them now just because there is that chance that one or two key Panthers could be out before Friday night. Moving to Saturday, the game I've got my first best bet on. So Brisbane plays the Knights in Brisbane and the line is -3.5, Newcastle favoured. But I'm taking Broncos +2.5 second half line, $1.86 on Unibet. And of all the lineups, when I was obviously waiting with bated breath on Tuesday to see how in a good position or how good of a position we were in, I was the most shocked when I saw this Knights team. When I scrolled down and saw the name Ponga, first of all, I thought, oh my God. So the Knights cannot change their ladder position at all. They're going to finish seventh, right? They have rested Hymel Hunt, Jacob Saifidi, Jaden Brayley, Barnett. It shows to you this game is not everything to them. But the fact that this lineup still includes Ponga, Best, Pierce, Frizzell, at least at this point in time, I was surprised. Now, I've kind of been talking to people in the threads, and I understand the argument why you pick some of these guys. Like, none of them have played 20 games this year. So you can definitely say, look, they don't need the rest. But and on top of that, of course, the Knights have won 5 in a row. They want to keep building these combinations with the kind of a new spine. Clifford came mid-season. Obviously, Pierce has been out a long time. Ponga was out a bit. And they want to improve combinations. I hear all of that. And I'm not saying they need the rest, but I still would argue those benefits don't outweigh the risk that any one of those serious players, any one of their best players, playing in an NRL match, you have a chance of picking up an injury, a knock, or even an innocuous suspension. So I think it's a short-sighted move by O'Brien. And if I was a Knights fan, you guys tell me, any Knights fans out there, Dan Lever, admin of the pod, you tell me, like, when Pong is running the ball in this game, you're going to be holding your breath because that's your season every time he takes a carry. Mate, that's just how I see it. And that's definitely why I took Brisbane at $2.50 in the multi I shared. And again, it's like, they're still $2.50 or so now, and we know that those guys are in. So I think you can appreciate why it was definitely a good bet on Sunday. But I wouldn't be rushing to take it now. I'd probably feel like it's more so the market is fair. Because as I said before, the Knights deserve to be favourites. When you're picking still a pretty strong side, you're showing that you are wanting to carry forward that momentum. So whereas Brisbane loses Flegler, loses Piacoro, who had a little cameo in his debut last week, they get back Jordan Rickey. But I like what I'm seeing out of Brisbane in the sense that they've got a reason to play for their captain. As I said, they've been finishing games strong, which is something new for them. I think Kevy has the boys ripping in to finish the year on a positive note and especially finish the game strong. So that's why I like playing Brisbane +2.5 in the second half. Next game, Cowboys play the Seagulls in Townsville, and the Seagulls are a 22.5 point favorite. So both sides are as full strength as they can be. Cowboys got the monkey off their back last week, got that win. Good for us. We won our best bet there. I feel like any result for the Cowboys this weekend is just gravy. Manly might need to win to make the 4. And again, I'll go out on a limb and say if Manly needs to win, they'll win this game. But you've got to understand, if you're putting any bets now on Manly, Manly might not need to win this. Okay, I think we can agree Penrith's going to beat Para. So that eliminates Para from the top 4. So then if the Raiders pull a slight upset, and that's obviously a game with a line just 2.5. If the Raiders beat the Roosters, Manly's in the 4 and can't move before this game even takes place, the night before, right? So if that occurs, I would be shocked if Manly doesn't rest a Tom Trbojevic and probably a DCE as well. So you're talking maybe like a 40% likelihood, if you look at the Raiders' odds, that Manly doesn't need to win this. Okay, then on the other side of the equation, 60% likelihood, because of the Roosters' strong side, that the Roosters would win and get into the four and occupy that position, and Manly will absolutely want to win. Now, regardless of those two scenarios, just so you understand, margin won't matter. Their margins are not close. It's just going to come down to whether Manly needs the win, and those 2 points will be everything they need. So I'm kind of classifying Manly as well in that same category as Penrith, where it's like, that these are sides, Manly and Penrith are building nicely in the last few weeks. You're seeing that they've got a real chance to give the competition a shake, especially with the Storm showing vulnerabilities, but they weren't at their best. Manly was not as sharp as they could have been last week. Therefore, I think they're motivated as well to be sharper, because if you're naming your best team, then you might as well play as well as you can. So I'm not jumping at the chance to play the Cowboys. I think if you wanted to be on the Cowboys, you should have taken the 28.5 that was available Sunday, Monday, because nothing that has happened since then in the Cowboys' favour, and yet the line is down to 22.5. If anything, it's gotten more likely the Roosters will win, which in turn has gotten more likely that Manly needs the game. So it's a hard one to really predict, not knowing what's going to be at stake for Manly. I'll just pass the game. Moving later Saturday night, another game I've got a best bet. Rabbitohs play Dragons, and the line is 2.5. Dragons are underdogs. But as you saw in the multi, the 40-1, got some legs that haven't ended up great. But one of those legs is Rabbitohs plus 23.5. So that's obviously a nice gift for us. If you played that as a single, I'm going to go out and say congratulations, you've won. And if you listen to the pod on Monday, where the line was still 12 or 12.5 were available on the Dragons, and Tristan and I both agreed that's still way too high, you've obviously got a great bet there. Now, I hate jumping on a team once there's been an astronomical line move, but round 25, final round of the season, is a bit of an exception. And you look at this Bunnies team, 9 starters out, Luttrell obviously out, but that's irrelevant because he would have been rested this week if he wasn't suspended. On the Dragon side of things, Zach Lomax is out, which is tough for them. I'm amazed watching Zach Lomax play, how many times he sucks the opponent winger in with his little no-look back of the hand offloads to Ravalawa, create something out of nothing so often, and he's the goal kicker as well. Another thing I should mention on the early markets, I mean, the Dragons were $9 to win this game Sunday night. Now they're into like $2.20, $2.10. So I'm still kind of willing to put a little bit of faith in the Dragons, and you might think that's a bit crazy to just watching them leak points each week. I think they've let in an average of 37 the last 3 weeks. But as I said before, they're still having a go. There's a real spark there with Sloan, Amone, Sullivan, all in the starting spine. I'm not going to be shocked if Souths like win this game. You've got this Taff who's going to have to fill in at fullback. We saw Corey Allen come in and fill in at fullback for the Bunnies last year and played so well that he got himself into an Origin debut. In this game as well, the Bunnies still have Burns and Graham in the centres. Benji's going to be in the halves with this debutant Ilias. And then in the pack, you know, Totola, Sua, Host, Nichols, still quality first graders. So I'm expecting a good quality game here, you know, something that with nothing really at stake could still be one of the more entertaining games of the round. But I give the edge to the Dragons, and to catch them with 2.5 in the first half, I'm willing to play that. Moving to Sunday, we have a possibility that these games will mean nothing, depending on if certain results go a certain way on Thursday, Friday. The Sunday games are meaningless. They could also mean everything to the Gold Coast Titans, who host the Warriors at Cbus. And the Titans are currently a 10.5 point favourite. So what do the Titans need? They need the Roosters to beat the Raiders, and they need the Storm to beat the Sharks. What's in their favour is that those are the two most likely results. Then the Titans need to beat the Warriors by 24 points minus what the Storm beats Cronulla by. So they need to catch up to Cronulla by 24. But in that scenario, Cronulla has obviously lost. It'll be less than 24 that they've got to make up. So that's a bit of an unknown. But the thing is, I think the fact that the team lists are what they are, Titans have real hope. And that's going to be enough for them to prepare this week. And they've obviously just got to prepare as if, you know, the season's on the line for this one. Last week was very disappointing for the Titans. I know I lean to the Knights, and I think the Knights are a better team than the Titans. But the fact that they were up 6 at halftime, everything on the line, couldn't muster a try second half. You kept Fifita on ice for 35 minutes, so you had him to utilize all second half. You miss a field goal when you had the chance. Like, that's extremely disappointing for them. That game last week, Titans Knights, I think summed up their whole season, other than the fact it was a low-scoring game for a change. But if they get reinvigorated with a second chance at life, basically, I think the Titans will come to play here. It's like your biggest game of the season all over again, a second chance, and you're backing up from the Thursday the prior week. So you're talking about 10 days to give it everything. I think they'll get a big boost, and I expect a good performance from the Titans. Whereas the Warriors, they're that wild card. They're off back-to-back really close losses. Nothing to play for, but you don't write the Warriors off because they've got nothing to play for either. Sometimes they play their best footy when they're carefree. Harris Tavita's in, Townsend is out. It's still a strong Warriors roster, honestly. And last week I predicted that the Warriors would really throw it around against Canberra, and they certainly did early, built a 16-0 lead, 25 in. They didn't score again. It's almost like they got the wobbles or got nervous because they're in front. They're like, oh, actually, we can win this game. So I'm expecting along those lines again this week. Daytime game, absolutely nothing to lose. Leave it all out there and have some fun and enjoy your footy. That's what I think the Warriors will do. So I still won't take the Warriors. I know there's some people tempted to take that plus 10.5 in this game. And my logic is you've got a serious chance that the Titans could not only be re-energized, but the Titans could be needing to chase points in this game, which would make it very dangerous catching the points with the Warriors. I know some people will think, well, what they'll do is they'll wait and see if the Titans get eliminated, take the plus, and if the Titans are still in it, take the minus. Of course, you've got to understand the market's probably going to react in those directions as well. But if you've got a strong opinion on whether the Titans will be alive or not, maybe you play this game now. I am going to get at this game in the mixed matchup to spoil ahead. In fact, why don't I talk about the mixed matchup right now? Because I'm going to go Titans to outscore the Rabbitohs. I did struggle a bit this week, a lot of uncertainty floating around. But as I spoke with the Rabbitohs Dragons, and I'm going to jump on the Dragons in that first half line, so I'm leaning that way. 9 key players out, including a brand new spine. You might say, well, Bunny's nothing to lose, they'll throw it around. But it's still a far cry, obviously, from the sharpness and execution that you're going to expect from a normal Rabbitohs attack. And then you're saying, hang on, we've got to rely on the mixed matchups. We're going to need the Dragons to defend. And I know they've been a sieve recently, but I like the fact that they're a real chance in this game. And I think that keeps them playing hard. And also think if they're having success with the footy, as I expect they will, it means they're not going to spend the whole game defending. Plus a night game, I just always feel night games, not always necessarily closer, but just that little bit less likely to be total blowouts or total shootouts. My prediction is that the Bunnies will score 30 or less, which gives us a chaseable target on Sunday with the Titans, regardless of the possibilities, the two scenarios, right? So we come into Sunday, we need the Titans to score more than whatever the Bunnies did the night before. If the Titans are eliminated, that's the worst case for us, but it still doesn't really put me off. Like, I think if the Titans are eliminated on Sunday, they're still at home, still playing a Warriors side that's going to be open and loose, and they can do the same. And in daytime conditions, they could free up and they could easily still win this bet for us. And then an even better scenario is the Titans are alive and needing to chase points and get that extra energy boost. And then we've got a great bet in that case. So that's my mixed matchup. $2 odds, max stake, $200 you can have on that. Because it clearly will be influenced a lot by what happens Thursday, Friday, TopSport has agreed to put this market up, but only until the round kicks off. So you have 24 hours from now, basically, or whatever, 25 hours, to jump on if you want it. But you have to decide before the Raiders and Sharks play. So you're taking that risk. Now, what's in our favor? If you look at the predicted totals, the Titans are expected to score 3 more points than the Rabbitohs. So we've got a favorite at $2. Where we take on the risk is if it's a tie, we lose. And if the Titans are eliminated by Sunday, that hurts us. But as I just said, I don't think it hurts enough to make it a bad bet. So I like that one this week. You've got 24 hours to jump on if you agree. The promo code is TRIPOD if you want to sign up to TopSport. I just referenced that we won the 15-1 last week. And if you like those types of bets, I've actually got some more custom things coming up, especially for people who are interested in the NFL. And finally, we move to the Bulldogs Tigers. And the Tigers are a 7.5-point favorite. And my best bet is on the Dogs, plus 4.5 in the first half, $1.80. Next best, plus $4.88 on Toppy. We do know what's at stake in this one. Nothing much. Mbai in concussion protocol, named, may not play. Seyfarth is out. The Dogs have lost Dury to an ACL. Waddell comes in. As I said before, we played the Tigers a month or so ago, -6.5, but I don't think they're any stronger now. Dwayne, he's a big loss. And they were back in the finals hunt then, where they're not this time around. I made a joke on Monday that the motivation factor is the Tigers want a feel-good story to end the documentary. Maybe that's true. And hey, maybe Madge gives them one last spray at halftime and the Tigers come home strong. We're taking the first half, so I feel okay about that. And I just feel we're on the value here because I don't think the Dogs are going that much worse than the Tigers. As I said at the very top, I'll be willing to end the regular season with the ugliest of ugly, the 2-21 Bulldogs up against the Tigers, catching those points first half, which again leans on a theory that we've had mixed results, but I think overall served us well. Take that underdog first half if you can catch more than half the full game line. That's going to do it, guys. I have a bonus segment now if you are interested, and I've already put this in the group 6 weeks ago on how professional punters stake their bets. So if you've already heard this, you don't have to listen again. It's up to you, but it's professional punting staking strategy. It's 4 minutes. It's how much to stake per bet. It's the Kelly Criterion, which is a mathematical method to let you know how much to put on based on how much your overall bankroll is. It talks about long-term winning percentage and realistic winning percentages for professional punters, how to manage losing streaks, which is really important and relevant, unfortunately, for us. It's not original content, so I hope I don't get in trouble, but I'm putting this in my pod because out of total respect that I think that they've said it really well in these 4 minutes from one of my favorite podcasts, The Dream Preview. And I was fortunate enough to be on a podcast last year with Steve Fezzik, who I consider the GOAT for NFL punting. And this is Fez speaking on a Dream Preview pod from July. And I even added a couple of reference images and articles if you're watching this as a video. It's a strategy that not every pro uses, but it's very relevant to pro punters. Every pro punter is going to know about this. And not only that, with punting knowledge and punting 101, if you really enjoy this type of stuff, just type in Tripod Punting 101. There's actually over 20 short episodes on the Tripod YouTube channel that are original content, a catalog of all different punting topics, and some of them may be of interest to you.
Bet sizing. You hear all the time, a lot of pros recommend 2% of bankroll for bet sizing. Where is this coming from? Why 2%? Why is that the pretty much most used recommended bet sizing amount? I actually agree with the 2%, and I thought I'd share the math with you. 52.4% is what you need to pick to break even laying minus $1.10. Now, most pros will tell you 55%. That's the goal in a really good year to try to hit, but very difficult to hit the 55%. A more reasonable hurdle or goal to achieve is somewhere from 53.5% to 54%, but we'll be conservative. We'll call it 53.4%. So if you're picking 53.4%, you're 1% above that 52.4% break-even level, and you actually have a 2% ROI on average for every dollar placed. Now, Kelly Criterion says you should wager proportional to your edge. So if you have a 2% edge, which you do have if you pick 53.4%, then you should wager 2% of your bankroll. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, wait a minute, I have the edge here. Why wouldn't I bet more? Let's bet more, and our expectation is higher, and it most certainly is on any one wager. The problem is if you bet more than the Kelly, substantially more, and this is counterintuitive, you can hit 55% even and wind up going broke if you wager too much, like at, say, 7% of bankroll. And the reason being is inevitably there will be a losing streak that you will hit or a bad patch where you will go 0-6. You will go 3-13. And if you're wagering at too high a level, you're not going to be able to withstand that swing, and you're eventually going to run out of money, and you're going to be ruined, and then you can't wager at all. And because of that, Kelly handles this, and by betting at 2% of bankroll when you hit 53.4%, your risk of ruin is pretty much minimized, that you can withstand those negative swings and move forward. Now, a lot of pros, what they do, the reason they get to 2% of bankroll is they actually expect to hit 54.4% of their wagers. Why don't they bet 4% of bankroll? Well, they want to be cautious, so they dial it back and they bet.